Okay, so we're on the Daf Vav tonight. Okay, so Baba Kamma Daf Vav 6a, that's the top line. So in the Mishnah we had done at the beginning of the Masechta, it said that each we had arba avot nezikin, four major categories of nezikin, and each one had its own individual characteristics. But then the Mishnah said, "Hatzara shaveshabahen." Should darken lahazik shmiratan alecha, that they cause damage and you're obligated to guard them. Nezek, and when they damage it, the tort user has to pay b'meitav. So the Gemara says, since the Tana collects them all together, in other words, the Mishnah is teaching me that I got four major categories, but then at Tzara summarizes what. They have in common. So Mistamin, the Mishnah wants us to learn another case from there. So we're going to have four answers to what the Mishnah is referring to. The top line on Bava Bet Aleph, Hatzara Shvesh Behen, Latvi Yimai. What is that coming to include? Amar Abaye, Latvi Avno Sakinu Masao, Shenichan Barosh Gago, Benaflu Baruch Mitzvi Yaviziku. So Abaye says it's to allude to the case where a person left either a stone or a knife. Or like a load on his rooftop, and I think the rooftops was on Chazal tend to be flat roofs. And then with a common wind, they fell to the ground, and they caused injury to this to let's say an animal down below. So the Gemara wants to say, hey, Chidami, what exactly is the case the Mishnah would be talking about? Ibahade the kaazli kamazki, if they cause damage in their trajectory, in other words. Wind blows the knife down, and as the knife is going down, it stabs an animal or something like that. Anyway, that would be the same as Aish. In the Mishnah, one of the Arba Avot Nezikin is fire. So he says, Maishana Aish, how is Aish different than this? The Koach Per Me'urabo, Mumun Hashmira Toalecha. It has a Koach Per, meaning Aish is a dangerous instrumentality, but then the wind blows it. He says, Umamun Hashmira Toalecha. And it's like your mammon. It's not the Western sense of mammon, but it means you own the fire and you're obligated to guard it. Haninami koach ker me'urabahen. So these elements that we just said, in other words, if you have avno sakinu masa'o, you have your stone, a knife, or a load you left on the rooftop, and then it blows off the roof, and then in its trajectory, it let's say hits an animal and injures it. Haninami koach ker me'urabahen. So there's a koach acher. Which would be the wind, umam and so, in other words, why would the Tana have to allude to this case? It's the same case as Aish. In other words, it's not fire, but it's the same principle as Aish. So the Gemara says on line A, vilabatar denaichi. So the Gemara says, so if it's not, that doesn't fit in. That it's bahadit taazli kamazki. So the Gemara says vilabatar denaichi. It's after they came to a rest. In other words, that they fell on the ground, and then after they're on the ground, and then Rashi says in the 10th narrow line, Maski ben shor o chamor. So a shor or a chamor, tripped on it or got injured from it. So the Gemara continues on. Ida afterinu, if the person was mafkir, it means he's giving up ownership in it, and he transferred it to the Rishus Hefker. Bein l'rab, bein l'shmul, hayne bor. So that would also be the same as one of the arba avot nezikin. Bor. Bor, a person digs a pit in the Rishus HaRabim in the public thoroughfare. So it's a makom hefker. In other words, he doesn't technically own the bor. Because I'll teach us there are shnei dvarim she'enem birshut ushladim, two things the person doesn't own, but the Torah creates liabilities if you do own it, and that's a bor birshus HaRabim. A boar in the public domain and chametz on Pesach and chametz during Pesach. So, but the point is, he dafkarina being the rabbi the Shmuel hainu boar. So both Rabbi and Shmuel would say that's the same as boar. Maishna boar. How is boar different? So boar from its inception is likely to cause injury. If I take a boar and it's just a rabbim, that means you have responsibility to guard it. And it considers the boar to be the mammon, but as we explained a minute ago, haninami. So these things as well, if you have if you leave it, your Evan, your Sakin, your Masa, and you should rob him, so that is going to be for Nezek. In other words, if I leave the item in the Rishus Rabim, that will be for Nezek, and then you have to guard it. So Mela, so we can't figure out, you know, what we're on Bava Manala around the 10th line. So we can't figure out what is this adding on more than I would have known in the Mishnah again. So let me just repeat a little bit, somebody just walked in. So we said in the Mishnah that we have our Bava Masikin, four major categories, and then the Mishnah says, Hatsara Shavesh Bahem, the thing that they all have in common, and the Mishnah says that that it says Hatsara Shavesh Bahem should darken the Hazik with Shmira Tana Lecha. The Derek is to be Mazik, and you are obligated to guard it. So what case is the Mishnah adding on with those words that I wouldn't know already? In other words, from the fact the Mishnah says each element has its own characteristics, but then, and so I have all four, and Torah teaches me all four. But then, Hatsara Shavesh Bahem, the Mishnah collates and says the thing they all have in common is A, B, and C. So what case is the Mishnah alluding to with that I wouldn't have known before? So the Gemara is going to have four answers for this. So the first answer Abayi said is Latuy Avno Sakinu Maso Shinichab Rosh Gado. If he left a stone, a sakin, or his load on his rooftop, and then they fell Baruch Matsuya. So the Gemara goes through, the Gemara thinks, I'm going to go through wherever you come to you, but the Gemara thinks that they came to rest in the Shisharabim, and the owner was Bafkirit. But if the owner was Bafkirit, that's the same thing as Bor. So around 10 lines down. Ella, the Loach Grina. So the Gemara says, no, he wasn't Mafkirit. So it means he had a knife, he had an Evan, he had a Masa, it blew in the Baruch Matsuya, it's in the Rosh Hashanah, and the owner is not Mafkirit. It means the owner is still retaining ownership of it. The Shmuel de Amar Kulam Yibor Labanu Hainu Bor. Now, but notwithstanding that, again, if it fits into one of the categories, it's not really an answer. So according to Shmuel, Kula Miboro Lamanu. In other words, any case where you have some Michshol or Rishus Rabim, even if you're not Mafkirit, you know, so we learn it from Bor. The now the Gemara had in other words, Shmuel holds that any takal is considered Bor, even though he wasn't Mafkirit. That's the Gemara later on in Daf Chedam base. And you had this on Sunday's Daf, on Daf Gimel. And then the Gemara had mentioned on Daf Gimel that even according to Rav, either Rav, this is on Daf Gimel and Beis, either Rav, Damar Kulni Shirol Lamanu, Hainu Shor. So Rav says that I know, Karen, Shane, and Regel from Shor. So he wants to say that it's a Tolda of Shor. So it really means, and the way Tosfos, I think, explains that it would be Shor and Bor. But the point is that I know them already. So the Gemara says, the Olam da Afkirinus. No, the Gemara says he was Ma'afkirit. The low down with the Bor, but it's not like Bor. Ma'alabor, Shkin in Koach Acher Me'urabo. With a Bor, there's no Koach Acher. In other words, the Koach Acher could be like the wind, would be like a Koach Acher. The Bor, there's no Koach Acher Me'urabo. Tor Bahani, Shkoach Acher Me'urabahen. So with these, there's a koach there that's mixed in with it. In other words, because the wind blew it, and he says, and again, we said that he says that he was ma'afkir, but it's a koach there we were behind. But eish tokia, eish will prove that koach there you're still liable with it. Mala eish came dark v'lelechol hazik, but eish normally goes and mazik bor tokia the bor approved. That even if it's stationary or chayev, b'chazar adin. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So we have this line in the Mishnah, which says, in other words, you have the arba avot nezikin, the four types of nezikin, the shor, the boar, the mava, and the hever. And then then the Mishnah collates them all and says, hatzad ha-shvesh bahen, the thing they all have in common is that dark on the hazik. The normally situation, they go and they cause injury. He says, and then you are obligated to guard it. So what case is the Mishnah alluding to that it hasn't said already? In other words, I know Shor, Bor, Mav, and Heather. What case is the Mishnah alluding to that I don't know already? You know, when it says, like, let's see what Rashi says, If you look at Rashi, the fifth narrow line in Rashi, that's not of Sheshven starting with the Kulai Dimashma, of course, start the laws of Peshmer to Lecha, Umay Mas Atmiyak. What is that coming to add in that he wouldn't know already? So the Gemara is going to have four answers. So the first answer we did is Abaye. Abaye says, Latuya Avno Sakina Masoshini Tan Barosh Gago, Benaflu Baruch Matsuya Beziku. Abaye says it refers to a case where a person left a knife, a load, or a stone on his roof, and then Baruch Matsuya, like a common wind, blew it off. This is like foreseeable that there would be problems with this, and it fell in the Rishus Rabim. So the Gemara ends up saying that the case, we again, so if they cause injury in their trajectory, that would be the same as H. That would be the same as H. H is a moving, you know, moving Nezek, and this would be a moving Nezek. So even though it's a different item, but it would be the same as H. So the Gemara says, you're right, there would be H. So it must be Batar Danaichi that we're talking about, where they came to arrest in the Rishus HaRabim, and then after they came to arrest in the Rishus HaRabim, let's say a shore was walking by and injured itself on your object that was in the Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, well, if he was mafkir the item, then it's still the same as boar, because boar is, that's what a boar is, even though it looks different than a boar. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, you know, maybe lo after it, maybe he wasn't mafkir it, but even if it's not mafkir it, so Shmuel says it's still boar, and even according to Rav, you learn it from shore and boar. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about he was mafkir it, but it's not dami the boar. How so? Again, so boar is, I have the pit in the Rishus HaRabim and it causes damage. These are items that blew off into the Rishus HaRabim, he's mafkir it, and then something got injured, but it's not similar to boar. Why? Ma the boar shkin in koach ter me'urabo. Boar has no koach ter mixed in with it. In other words, boar is stationary, that's it. The koach ter would be like the wind, things like that. So the wind blew it down, so there's a koach ter me'urabo. So this is a koach ter me'urabo. But Aish shall prove that that's irrelevant, because Aish has a koach ter me'urabo, and he's still liable for it. But Aish is dark v'leleich l'hazik. That's the way of fire. It's like dangerous per se. It goes, and wherever it goes, it burns. And these things, you know, don't necessarily go and damage. You walk into it, and it damages it. Bor tofias, but Chazar did. Okay, that's the first Hezra in the Gemara. Who's got any questions, comments, thoughts? Oh, okay, Dano's here. What have we got? Wait. Go ahead.
You mentioned Ruach Mitzuya. It is not Ruach Mitzuya, so therefore you do not expect this to happen. So based
right.
on that,
right.
It is
in other words, if it's a Ruach She'ena Mitzuya, so you don't have reason to expect that it would occur.
So therefore you're not liable.
Not liable, right.
Come on. So it says that Bor is static and Ash is something that can move.
Right, that's true.
But Bor doesn't have to be static.
Yeah. It
would be a heaven that
No, we'll come up to it later in the Gemara today. But again, we're saying that we have the four cases in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is alluding to a new case that I wouldn't necessarily know from each of these four cases. So we said, what is the case? And we're going to have four different answers. So we said, what is the case the Mishnah is alluding to? So the first answer we gave in going to cutting to the chase is you left your Evan, your Sakin, or your Masa on your roof. I was negligent. I left it on my roof. I left a knife on the roof of my house, and the roofs were like flat roofs. And then in a Ruach Mitzvah, a very common wind, which is, you know, certainly something you should anticipate, the wind blew the knife off and it ends up in the Rishus HaRabim. So we're saying, at the end of the day, we're saying that that he was mafkir it. In other words, he says, you know, that's it, you know, I it's like ownerless at that point, but it's, and boar is also hefker though. Boar, in essence, in other words, the boar, you don't own the boar, you dig the boar. I see before you came in, I mentioned the Gemara says that there are shnei dvarim she'enam b'rishutos shel adam, two things that a person doesn't own, but the Torah treats it for halachic purposes if you do own them, and that's boar b'rishus harabim and chametz and pesach. So the boar b'rishus harabim, you don't own it, but the Torah treats it like as if you do own it. In other words, you're liable for anything that, you know, falls in there, or not anything, but things that do fall in there. So he wasn't mafkir it. He says, he was mafkir it. He was mafkir it, but it's not similar to boar, because boar has no koach ter me'urabo. Cool, boar is just static. You know, it didn't happen. Here, the wind blew it over. So the wind blew it. But the Gemara says, but Eish has a koach ter me'urav, and you are liable. Yeah, but Eish is the nature of Aish is like the move and damage. It's like damage him going. So here we have something that was, if the animal bumps into it, then it causes the damage. So he says, bor tokia. So we're going to learn it from Aish and Bor, is what the Gemara wants to say. Right, that's true.
Right. But is this a Mesa Pesach?
Yeah.
That they treat as if
it, yeah, in other words, once Pesach comes, it becomes Aser Bahana'ah, yes. So I don't have any ownership rights in the Chametz anymore. In other words, I can't do any, it's not my Chametz really for halachic purposes, because the Torah has Asered it in all Hana'ah, and so it's not my Chametz anymore. But nevertheless, the Torah like makes me liable to possession of the Chametz, even though I'm not, you know, owning it anymore. Okay. Any questions in the Zoom world? Otherwise, I'm going to go on. Everybody good? Okay. Let's go to the next answer. Okay. All right. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's take a look. All right. We're up to Rava. Everybody with me? All right. So we're around. You know what? I should mention this. Something else I'll mention. There's a, he has this, this came up both in the Morota Daf Yomi and also in the, Daphne Digest. This was a case, the way they have it here, like a baby required a bris on in Yerushalayim. It's a case in 1959, and they asked an Arab to carry the baby to shul on the bris. Now, without informing the Arab, they stuck a Mila knife into the blanket that was wrapped around the baby, so the Arab will carry the Mila knife to the bris as well. So the Arab's going to carry the baby, and apparently at this point in time, either there wasn't an Arab in Yerushalayim, or they didn't want to rely on the Arab, whatever was going. Anyway, after the baby gets to the shul, that's where they're carrying the baby to, so the moa looks and he sees there's no knife there. So they've got a problem. So then they look out the door, and the Arab had left already. They look out the door, they see the knife was left like a few centimeters from the door. It fell out, and it was a few centimeters from the door of the shul. So the rabbi of the shul had an idea. He thought, no, why don't I get, they had in the shul, they had a big magnet. I don't know what to do with the big magnet, but they had a big magnet in the storehouse. He said, why don't we bring the big magnet to the doorway, and then we'll just pull the knife in. The magnet will pull the knife in, and then we'll be in good shape. That's what the rabbi of the shul thought. So he mentions that Rav Zvi Pesach Frank, I don't know if he was there at that moment or ever, he did not agree with using the magnet to bring the knife in. Now, this connects up with what we said. See, the Gemara wants to say that if you have a knife that's on the roof and then the wind blows it, so that's what?
There are ways to bring the
shoot to what's the problem?
Let's go slowly. All right. So Oded was asking me if it's less than Dalet Amot, can't they carry it? No, in other words, less than Dalet Amot, let's say I'm in Rishus HaRabin, so it's going less than Dalet Amot half. Here I'm taking it from Rishus HaRabin to Rishus Yachid. Even 2 inches is
right.
The case of death.
It's a Rishus
HaRabin. In other words, Mavir, Rishus. If I take something from one Rishus to another Rishus, that's the
case. So they wanted to have a magnet, so this person is not doing it.
Right. That would be the thinking. That would
the
be
reason
the...
that they don't like it is because.
Okay, let's hold off all thoughts, questions, wait for 3 minutes, and let me speak, and then everybody can say whatever they want. Okay? So the Rishvi Pesach, now in our Gemara, we learn if I have a knife that's on the roof and the wind blows the knife to the ground. In the earlier Kipta, not Maskana, but if the wind blows the knife to the ground, so then that's attributable to me. In other words, that motion is attributable to me. So Rav Zvi Pesach Frank, the Gemara later on says that there's a machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Isha Mishem Chitza or Isha Mishem Mamo. What is the nature of the liability with Eish? So Yochanan says the nature of liability of Eish is like Mishum Kitzo. It's like I shoot an arrow, so when the arrow hits, I'm liable for it. So the same thing with the fire. If I set the fire here and then the fire spreads, I the one who set the fire, I'm liable for it. So Rav Zvi Pesach Frank wanted to say that that if you just like Isha Mishum Kitzo, if I set the fire, so in other words, like there's something moving, but it's directly attributable to me. So, right. So with the magnet, I create a koach, and now it comes towards me. That's also as if I did it. That's what he wanted to say. So let me read the English, then we'll talk. He says, all right, this we got. Okay. So similarly, a person who places down a magnet in order to pull an object from the public domain to a private domain is fully liable, since if he pulled the object. Now, here in the Morota Daf Yomi, he mentions that. In the Morota Daf Yomi, he mentions. Yeah, he says this caused a big reaction in the Torah world, and it came up in a time when Reb Chaim Chaikin, in 1965, he visited the Rav Surik, and who was the Chalkat Yaakov, and who held, I think the Chalkat Yaakov did, that you're allowed to bring the knife to the shul using the magnet, and that's based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbat. If I do the hotza'a not in the normal way, so that's not chayiv on a deraisa level. So if you're machdis sakin with the magnet, so you're not doing derech regila, and the mela, it's not malacha deraisa. Now he says you have to be sorry for the sibo la'atir iskur drabanan b'mikrizeh. I don't know all the facts. So I don't know if it was from a Shusha Rabin or a Carmen. In other words, so maybe let's say it'd be one Drabanan and then another Drabanan on top of that, and then Bamako Mitzvah or something like that. That might be what he was putting together. Okay, now it's time for everybody to speak and say their piece.
First of all, it doesn't sound like it's Koho. You're talking about an arrow, you're the one pulling it, and that's your Koach. And now when you let go, it's your Koach.
Yeah,
but the magnet has its own koach.
Yeah, yeah, no.
You are the one who brings.
I'm saying yeah, but you are setting things in motion by bringing the magnet. It's like it's not. Is that that's even more direct than the case where you left it on the roof and the roof would see you blew it off. And the Warren wants to say that would be the same as like the edge. Okay.
Once it is not with the foot. I mean, imagine it is the Rabbanan. If you're doing with your foot, it's not the derech that people carry a knife.
So
you don't even need to have a
knife. All right, I'm going to move on now. All right. All right, let me move on now in the Gemara. Now the second answer in the Gemara. Everybody with me? All right, we're up to Rava Amar, around 20 lines down. So we had Abai, now we have Rava. Rava Amar, Latmi Boar, and Mekalgel Baragli Adam, Baragli Behema. So boar means like a boar that would roll through people's feet and animals' feet in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So what he means is the person places a michshol in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It might be a stone. This would be the case the Mishnah is alluding to. I place the stone in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's the same as Bor versus a rabbit, we said according to Shmuel. But then I put it in location A, but then people kick it around unintentionally, and it ends up in location B. That's what, and then it injures somebody in location B. So he says, Rabbi Mar Latri Bor Mikal Gibragli Maragli Behema, Hechidami. So what's the case? Ida Afgarinu, if he's maftier, the item that he put in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Bain the Rabbi and the Shmuel Hainu Bor, that would be the same as Bor. Maishna boar, how is boar different? The boar from the get-go is like, you know, a problem waiting to happen. You have boar versus a rab, nothing good is going to happen with it. And you're responsible for guarding it. Haninami, so this is well with the boar, Hamit Galgel, it's going to cause problems. You put it there. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, we don't think the Tana Mishnah has to make an allusion to anything. I know Bor it. El of the low afkarinim. So maybe he wasn't mafkir li chetza. So the Shmuel damar kuni Bor lamanu had a Bor. So according to Shmuel, it says we learn them all from Bor. That's the same as Bor. So the olam the afkarinu. The Gemara says no, he was mafkir it. Below dami the Bor. It's not the same as Bor. Ma the Bor came masav garmulo. In other words, by the Bor, when I dig the Bor. That's what's causing the problem. In other words, I take my shovel, I go to the robin, I dig the bore, and now there's a dangerous mentality there. Tomer Bahani, Shein Masad Garmulo. In other words, here, my Masim I put in the robin. And then other people come and pick it here, there, and the other place. There's like sort of like another intervening force involved. So the Gemara says, Shor Yochia, but Shor will prove that that's irrelevant because my shore takes a walk and let's say it damages by walking, but it's moving. But shore, that's the normal way it goes. But bor tochia, bor will prove that even though it's not darkol leilech lahazi, causes damages, you're still responsible to bor. B'chazar adin, lo rizek rizeh. So the second answer the Gemara says that the case that the Mishnah is alluding to, but it says, asar shvesh behen, she darkin leilech lahazi, kushmer atanalefa, is this case of, according to Rava, of bor hamitgalgel baragli adam baragli behema. In other words, the person puts something in the Rishus HaRabim, and he says, if you look at Rashi and Bor HaMitgalgel, around 20 lines from above where it gets wide, Bor HaMitgalgel, Ha'iniach Evan Rishus HaRabim, put a stone in Rishus HaRabim, Uvodabim and Koma Lo Hizika, and it didn't harm anybody in his place, the Gilgala Raglei Adam HaBehem, L'matumacher B'Hizika Sham, and it did enter there. Now, I was listening to Rav Leibowitz today. He was talking about, he was quoting from a Sefer, it might have been the first time, I don't remember, he said, let's say, like, we're talking about the people unintentionally kick it around, and then it causes damage. Let's say someone intentionally kicked it. In other words, let's say Reuven put the oven in the Rishus HaRabim. And then Shimon came, and Shimon intentionally kicked it to its second location. So then, at that point in time, he wanted to say Shimon would be liable. In other words, what do I? Because he broke the whole thing.
First place was a place of danger already.
Right, it was. But you know, but that would be the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though I put it in place A and then the other people kicked it around to place B, I have liability for it. Now he had a case. He was quoting from the Minchat Shlomo of Shlomo Ozaman Auerbach, a case of a person at some sort of grocery store, and they had bins of salt and sugar. And the seller transposed them. And then people came in and they bought what we thought was sugar and it was really salt. and then with the sugar, they put the sugar in all these things they wanted to bake. And everything they baked got all messed up. So he was talking about... No, there was the homeowners. In other words, they're the people, like you know, let's say a Baba Bus is going home making food for Shabbos or whatever. So they bake a cake, and now the cake is, you know, it doesn't taste so good. Like the apple cake doesn't taste like apple cake. So he was saying that l'chora he wanted to say is like this case with this with you have like the what is it the what is it with word quality says for Amit Galgel Baragli Adam. In other words, he put the sugar in the wrong place, salt in the wrong place. Then people came, they took it, and they purchased it thinking that was it. But then he was talking about, would there be liability on the part of the seller? So if we're learning it from Bor, which is the way the Gemara seems to say it, but by Bor, we learned that Kalim, you're Pater from Kalim and Bor. So if I think of Bor, I'm Shisarabim, and somebody's chamor falls there and gets killed, and the ladder is on the and the saddle's on the chamor. So I'm liable for the chamor. I'm not liable for the saddle. That's a kalim. But after all, shama, you know, shor o chamor. But shor below, you know, adam or then one below kalim and one below adam. So then he was saying, that at a certain point in time it might be more like aish. Anyway, but that was the story. Okay, I'm going to want. Now, all right, we're now the third expert in the Gemara. Okay, we're 10 lines to the bottom on some Baba Ben Aleph. Rav Ada Bar Abba Amar, Latu Yehad Tana. Rav Ada Bar Abba says, the Tana Bar Mishnah is alluding to a third case. And again, each of these cases are not mechulak the one on the other. In other words, all, except in Lahalacha, they're all ideas that could be good. He says, Latu Yehad Tana, we learn in the Braisa, Kulelu Shamru Potkin Bibotein, Megorfin Ma'arotehen, so these are people who have like they don't have like a sewage system that's manifazal like we have today. So they said everyone they said potin bibotein, you can open up, let's say they have, you know, their wastewater that they want to open up and let it go into the Rishus HaRabim, the Gorfin Marotein, and they can shovel out their like septic tanks. It's like, you know, they have you know with Zevel. So bibota chama in lemershut. During the summer, they don't have permission to do those things because the streets are nice and they're going to mess up the whole streets. Bimota chum yesh lemershut. But in the winter, when the streets are a mess, they have rishus to let all the sewage out into the street. Afapi shib rishut, imiziku chayvim l'shalim. Nevertheless, the Tana Mishnah says, even though they're acting, they have permission to let the wastewater go into the Rishus HaRabim, but if they cause damage to people, then they're on line for. We'll have to figure this out. Now, Hei Chidami, so what is it? What is the case? So focusing on the last line of that Braisa, Imiziku Chayvim L'Shalem, if they cause damage, the person whose sewage they let into Rishus HaRabim, they're liable. What's the case? Hei Chidami, Ibahari Dekaazli Mazkin, if they cause injury, meaning like I open up my faucet and then or whatever it is, and then all this sewage water comes out and it splashes on somebody and ruins his clothes. So he says, Kokohu, that's my koach, so I'm liable for that. Elabatra denayeth. So it must be that after the water or whatever and the zevel, everything came to rest on Shusarabim, Hekidami, Ida Afkarinu, if he was mafkirit, Bain the Rab, Bain the Shmuel, Hainu Bor, that's the same as Bor. Maishana Bor, how is Bor different? It's Chilat Asiyah Tol Nezek. Initially, it's made, you know, likely to cause injury. Umaman Chashver Tol Alecha, it's your Ramon and you have to guard it. Haninami, it's Chilat Asiyah Tol Nezek. Here also, it's like, you know, waiting for Nezek to happen with the stuff. Umaman Chashver Tol Alecha. El of the Loaf Greeno. So if it's not that he was Mafkirit, he must have not been Mafkirit. So the Shmuel Damar Kulmi Bor Lamanu had a Bor, but according to Shmuel, that would also be Bor. So the Gemara says the Olam Daf Greeno. No, he was Mafkirit. The Lo Dami the Bor, but it's not like Bor. Mal the Bor Shekain Shlo Bereshut. A Bor, a person has no license to dig a Bor in the Rishus HaRabim. So when I'm digging the Bor, I'm like sort of like violating the rules by digging the Bor in the Rishus HaRabim from the get go. Tomer Bahani, but with these, where I'm letting out the sewage in the Rishus HaRabim, the Bereshut, turn page. So maybe I shouldn't be liable. But sure, Yochia, sure, prove it. Because with sure, I have permission to walk my shore in the Rishus HaRabim. And nevertheless, I'm liable for damages that my shore does. So, Rikod HaMishu Shubakach, you see, Chayav. If my animal, you know, let's say he gores somebody in the Rishus HaRabim, Karen, I'm liable for it. He says, Mal Shore. But sure, that's the way it normally goes like that. So I should guard the shore. So this is not darko, you know, that it necessarily be mazik if the person, you know, he splashes himself or something like that. So bor tochiyat, bor will prove that even though it's stationary, you're still liable for damages. V'chazar adin. So it goes back and forth. And so the third answer is with this wastewater would be the third answer. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts?
Karen, I mean, the shore normally does not gore, but it can cause damage with the regel by walking.
No. Let's go slowly with this. So Shane and regel is I believe is only chayev in the Rishus HaNizak is Shane the regel. In other words, if the Rishus HaRabim, I think it's Karen. It would be chayev for. Okay. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Okay.
No. We define the Albavot, the shore of
Boram of Eva.
Now we're looking at the shore and we're saying, what if the shore is the Sakin or the Avnosh Sakino, Masosh, in
right,
front?
Right.
And then Rabo said, what if
right,
the Bor is
Eben
Amitalgel?
Right. Well, in other words, the Gemara is saying that the Tana mission is alluding to another case. So yeah. If the new case Tana is referring to fits into one of the pre-existing categories, I don't need the Tana to teach me anything. Now, again, according to Rav, it could be like we really have like maybe even six categories in the Mishnah. But if it fits clearly in one of the categories, I don't need the Tana to teach me. So the Gemara is saying that the case the Tana is alluding to doesn't fit neatly, each one of the cases doesn't fit neatly into any one of the columns. It fits into two columns. And then that's what he's saying. Okay? Okay, so let's go back in the Gemara. We'll do another last answer, and then we'll be on our way. Okay, all right. Let's see. All right, now, So the second line on Vavam Bay 6B Vavam Bay is the second line. Rabina Mar Latu Yehadatnan. Rabina says the Tana here is alluding to that which we learn in the Mishnah, and as you can see, the Mishnah above Metzia, a kotel b'ha'ilan shnaflu l'shudarabim, meaning it's a privately owned kotel. Let's say Reuven has his wall, and the wall abuts the Rishus HaRabim, but he built it and he owns it. Or Ba'ilan, where he has a tree. He said, but then Shnaflu l'Rishus HaRabim, and then, without warning, the Ilan or the Kotel fell into the Rishus HaRabim, the Hiziku, and then they caused injury to somebody. Patur min l'shalim. So he, the homeowner, is not liable to pay damages. But not in those manla coats. Let's say the Bezdin said, this looks like a dangerous Kotel, looks like a dangerous tree, looks like it's going to fall soon. And he said, we're giving you 2 weeks, take it down, take care of this. Not in those manla coats at Ilan, the store at a Kotel, but not flubatoka zman, the Iziku. So if the Ilan or the Kotel fell down within the time he had to remove it that the Bezdin had given him, he's patur. La'achar hazman chayev. But after the zman, he's chayev. So the case that we're going to focus in is the last few words of this Mishnah that we just did, that means I have a kotel, I have an ilan. It's on my property, and the kotel's on my property. I built the wall, and it's my ilan. And then the Bezdin came to me, and they said, we think that this is dangerous and in danger of collapsing or falling over, and we want you to remove it and take care of this within a week. And then a week passes, the person doesn't take care of it, and it injures somebody, so then the homeowner is liable. That's the case we're focusing on now. So, Hechidami, what exactly is the case in the Mishnah? Id Aftara, the same idea as before. So if the homeowner was mafkir it, in other words, the kotel fell down, I'm mafkir it, the tree fell down, I'm mafkir it, I don't want to know from it. Bein l'rab, bein l'shmuel, haidu bor. So that's the same, in other words, this is the suggestion that Ravina is making. Ravina is saying, this case the Mishnah says is my suggestion for this Mishnah in Bava Kama, on Daf Beis. So what's the problem? Doesn't it fit into one of the categories? What's the explanation? If we're talking about a case where the homeowner was mafkir the kotel, or he's mafkir the tree, so bein the rab, bein the shmuel, hayne bor. So rab and shmuel would say that's the same as bor. So that doesn't make sense. That it could be that it's bor, and that's fine with the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, but it doesn't help us with our Mishnah here in Bava Kama. So Mishnah bor, how is bor different than this? Hezeku matsui, it's a frequent hezek. In other words, it's frequent injury from bor. Ushmirato alecha, and you have to guard it. So haninami, so these two mean the kotel and the tree. Hezek and matsui, ushmirato alecha. So id lo afkarinu, if he wasn't mafkir the kotel or the tree, the shmuel damar kuni bor lamanu hayne bor. So shmuel says, it doesn't matter whether you're mafkir or not, it's bor. He says, so the Gemara says the olam dafkarinu. No, he was mafkir it. The lodami the bor, but it's not exactly like bor. Malabor, shchein tchila siyato lenezek. Bor, from the get-go, I put my shovel in the ground, I dig the bor, I'm creating a dangerous instrumentality. Bahani, shein tchila siyato lenezek. But these weren't made when I built the hotel and I planted the tree. It wasn't made because and wasn't foreseen that it would cause nezek to anybody. But sure will prove that even though my shore, you know, what isn't necessarily, you know, omade, you know, for doing these things, but I'm still liable for damages. So mala shore, shkin darku l'alechu l'hazik. So the shore, yeah, it does go, and it does cause injury. So bor tochiyah, but chazar did. So the Gemara is saying that between both of them, so that's going to be the fourth case. Now, there's one Rashi I want to do with you on the third white line. L'ashtem bor shkin hezeko matsui, he says, Shaderak Shinoflim Sham Behemoth. In other words, behemoths frequently fall into the boar in Rashi, the fourth white line. The Ikasha Hamilta Daman Lael Derega Zeiko Matsui below boar. So in Daf Gimel, the Gemara said that Regel is Hezek Matsui. In other words, the shore, you know, tramples things. That's Hezek Matsui and not boar. So here, how come over there it says boar is not Hezek Matsui? Here the Gemara says the boar is Hezek Matsui. La Pirchi, that's not a question. The boar hezeko matsui, it is matsui, aval ena matsui kachi regel. In other words, it's like a spectrum. Regel is very matsui. Boar is not as matsui as regel, but it is matsui. Shukosha hi mahalechet. The regel is on boob, so that's matsui. But boar also has a certain frequency to it. Okay, so we gave four explanations for the fourth case in the Mishnah. All right, now let's just see what we got here.
Here for sure, also we're talking about the Karen this time because it's the Sharabim.
With the shore.
Yeah, if it was a shore that was calm, there's a difference in terms of liability.
No. Okay. The Kotel and the tree fall into the Rishus HaRavim. When the Gemara says shor, it means by shor walks on somebody's property and damages goods there. That's what it means. But there's a liability for shor.
It's not over here, but the walk.
Yeah.
The regular. It's not the.
You mean, yeah, right. It could be that, right, regular, right. In other words, let's go back. Let's say, he says, there's a lot of things with shore, the boar, which was the left. So shore yochiach. So when the Gemara says that shore yochiach, so he says, shekin dark lelech lahazik, right. So that's regal. Okay. Okay. All right. Everybody good? Good. Okay. Now, all right. He has a case here, but I think I'll leave this for the end. Okay. Let's go for a little tomorrow. Okay. Now, the Mishnah says, Shehizichav Amazik, when the injury is caused, is caused, so Chav Hamazik. Mazik is like the tortfeasor, the one who causes the injury, he owes damages to the Nizah. So chavamazik, chayavamazik, niboilav. So the Gemara is asking on the language, why would the Tana, the Mishnaic Hebrew is a very pure Hebrew. It's a certain genre of Hebrew. Biblical Hebrew is Mishnaic Hebrew, is medieval Hebrew, but Mishnaic Hebrew is a very pure Hebrew. So chayav is the way to say it in Hebrew. It's chav. Chav is not the pure Hebrew to say it. So why does he, and frequently the Mishnah says chayav, why does he say chav? He says, Amarav Yehuda Amarav, Hay Tani Yerushalmihu, Tani Lishna Klila. So the Tana, one second, I didn't say anything yet. Okay. So the Tana who formulated this Mishnah was Yerushalmi. So in Yerushalmi, they would speak Lishna Klila, like a sort of truncated language. So they wouldn't say Chayev, they say Chaz. And they said in the R scroll, if you think of the Talmud Yerushalmi, so like a lot of the words, that's the way they are. They're like more, like abbreviated, like the abbreviated or truncated. Lishna Klila. Okay, do you want to say something?
It's for the first time that I've used to put down the people at the rest.
I don't know if he's putting them down.
He says, like, Lishna Klila. Means that they, like, very, they take it easy.
Well, it means it's like abbreviated, truncated.
There's no connotation.
He's just saying that they always like people and... in different areas, they sort of speak shorthand. That's the way it goes. All right, let's see further. All right, now let's take a look. Okay, now's the last sugi. We're going to talk about what Meitav is. We all have to focus. We're going to read a Braisa. We don't understand what this Braisa means, so let us be patient, and then we'll hopefully clarify it. Okay? So, L'shalim Teshlumi Nezek. So, the Tana of the Mishnah said that the tortfeasor is obligated to pay the Meitav Ha'aretz. Meitav Ha'aretz. Meitav Ha'aretz means that if he's paying in land, he's got to pay from the best land. But we have to clarify what land, who, what, where, how. So L'shalim Tishlomi Nezik, Tana Rabbanon, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. So we learned to dinner Meitav, and we had all the Limudim yesterday, with Gzir Shabbos from all the other cases with Meitav. So it says, Kiaver ish sadeu cherem v'shilach biro v'yer b'stei acher mitav sadeu mitav karmo yishalem. If a person sends off his shore, right, he sends off his ox, and the ox walks into his neighbor's property or noshes on the neighbor's food, so the owner of the shore has to pay the meitav. He has to pay the best. So meitav sadeu shel nizak u'meitav karmo shel nizak div Reb Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says it means the best of the Nizak. In other words, Nizak owns land, and the Mazik can own land. So it means the payment has to be, and we'll have to clarify, and we don't understand this yet, but calibrated to the Meitav of the Nizak. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lobaktuv El Gabot Le Nizak in Mina Idit, the Kabbal Korman Le Hekdesh. We don't understand this either. Akiva says, he's teaching me that for Nizakin, you collect from the Idit is the best, and Kabbal Korman Le Hekdesh. Okay, so now, we think right now, what we think Rabbi Shmuel is saying, Rabbi Shmuel says that the Meitav is the Meitav of the Nizak. We think that Rabbi Shmuel is saying, and the Gemara is going to get into this, let's say my ox, eats from your property. And there are different pieces of land. So a poor piece of land will not produce as much as a good piece of land. So let's say the poor piece of land, let's say a patch, whatever the patch will be, let's say, you know, like an area of land, let's say a poor patch of land might produce, let's say, 100 tomatoes. And the good patch will produce 1,000 tomatoes. So my ox went and it gnashed on one of your patches of land. So we think that the Gemara, that Rabbi Shmuel is saying, I have to pay you regardless. In other words, so my ox gnashed on a poor piece of land. But we think that Rabbi Shmuel is saying, the compensation I have to give you must be equal to your best property of land. In other words, as if he had gnashed on that best property. You understand? Everybody good? Okay. So let's say, wait, that's true, but let's take a look. So he says here, Rabbi Shmuel, Achal Shmina Misham Shmina. So I mean, according to Tan Rabbi Shmuel, if my ox ate from like a fat piece of property, and it was the grade A property, so I have to pay like the amount of damages there. Achal Chusha Misham Shmina. But if it ate from a lousy piece of land, I have to pay from the best as well. So he says, Amar Abidi Baravin, Hakamayaskinan, Yun Shachal Ruga Bein Harugot, that my ox ate one of the vegetable patches. I don't know whether it ate poor or ate, you know, ate well. He says, the Mishal Mishmin, they have to pay like according to the best. So Amar Rava, Umailu Yadin Kahusha Akal, Lomishalimil Kahusha. So if I would know that, so in other words, the Gemara initially thought within Rabbi Shmuel that the Mazik always has to pay with the best property of the Niza. The Gemara says that doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says maybe Rabbi Shmuel is talking about where I don't know what the Ushur ate. So, but then if that's the case, the Gemara says, he says, Uma ilu yadin the kusha kal mishlam the kusha hashlo yadin ani kusha achal yishmena achal mishlam yishmena most mikra b'labaraya. In other words, if that's the case, so the burden of proof should be on the Nizak to prove what was damaged. So now the Gemara has Ella. The Gemara makes a sea change now in what the Meitav means, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Ella, so what the Gemara is going to say now is the value is going to be the same. In other words, I owe you a certain amount of money. But when I pay it to you, do I have to pay it in land that's equivalent to your best land or my best land? So Rabbi Shmuel says, we're looking at the Nizak's property. So the Nizak's best property might be equal to the worst property, the Mazik. But if that's his best property, then that's what I have to pay. Okay? So let's take a look back in the Gemara. So Ella, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Hakamai Askinan, Ushta Edid the Nizak, is the Bor de Mazik. That the Edid of the Nizak, the best property that the injured property, that the injured party owned, was like the worst property of the Mazik. And this is the machloket. Rabbi Shmuel Saber, but the Nizak Sheminan. Shmuel says, we look at the Nizak. So, in other words, the Mazik is going to have to pay damages to the Nizak, but the Mazik will have to pay the damages with property. If he's paying with property, will be like the best property of the Nizak. Rabbi Akiva Saber, but the Mazik Sheminan. Rabbi Akiva holds, no, like his own best property. So, my Talmud, Rabbi Shmuel. So, everybody got that so far? That's the way the Gemara is leaving this. So again, there's a din of Meitav that I have to pay with Meitav, but who's Meitav? So Rabbi Shmuel holds it's the injured party's Meitav, even though, in other words, the injured party might live in a lousy neighborhood or whatever it is, or you know, lousy soil. So I have to pay according to his best property. His best property might be my worst property. But if I'm paying him with land, I'll pay with my worst property, which is his best property. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, my best property.
That's what Rabbi Akiva says, because he's the one who's paying.
Who? All right, we'll see in a minute. All right, we'll see in a minute. Okay, now, my time is Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel? So, Nemar side of the Mata, but Nemar side of the Mala. So, in the same Pasuk, it says, Ki aver ish sadeo cherem, mishkilach biro bi'er b'stei acher. I send forth my ox, and my ox grazes in somebody else's field. Meitav sadeo meitav karmo yishalem. So, it says, u'bi'er b'stei acher, that my ox grazes in somebody else's property. That means the Nizak. So my ox is grazing in the Nizak's property. Meitav sadeh meitav karmo yishalem. So I have to pay with the meitav of the sadeh. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Meitav Rabbi Shmuel, nemar sadeh lamata, nemar sadeh lamala. Same pasuk, says Meitav Karmo, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo Yishalein, and it's the Sada of the beginning of the Pasuk. Masada Mor Lamala, the Nizak, just like the Sada in the beginning of the Pasuk is clearly talking about the Nizak Sada, of Sada Mor Lamala, the Nizak. So to the Sada at the end of the Pasuk is talking about the Nizak. Makes a lot of sense. Where, in other words, the Torah says you have to be Meitav, says Meitav Sadehu, who's Sada? So Rishon says it makes sense. It's the Nizak, okay? Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva hold? 10 lines from the bottom. Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kamo Yishalim, Dehayach, the Kamishalim. Rabbi Akiva says, I think like you were saying, Daniel, he says, the one who's doing the pay, and it was Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kamo Yishalim, he'll pay, means the Meitav is the one who's doing the pay. Okay, now, Rabbi Shmuel has an answer to that as well. Rabbi Shmuel, Ahani Gzeira Shava, Yahani Kroa. Yisrael says the Gzeira Shava. So Gzeira Shava, he means like the limud we have from the beginning of the Pasuk to the end of the Pasuk, and the plain meaning of the Pasuk are effective. Ahani Gzeira Shava, Kidaka Amina. So the Gzeira Shava, he's learning Sada is the way he's learning it. He says, that's like we said, that when Rabbi Shmuel is the Nizak, Ahani Kroa, there are times, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that I'll look at the Mazik. How so? If you go into Italy, the Mazik, Idit Biziburi. The Mazik, the owner of the shore, has two types of property, A and C. He's got Idit and Ziburi. So the Mazik has A and C. The Idit on Nizak, and the Nizak has Idit, or what the Nizak calls Idit. The Ziburi, the Mazik, Lo Shavik, the Nizak. There was the Idit of the Nizak is better than the C property of the Mazik, but it's not as good as the A property of the Mazik. The Mishalim Levi Meitav Didei. So the Mazik is going to have to give him the best property. In other words, so he's obligated to pay with property if he's paying with land. That's the Meitav, that's equivalent to the Edit of the Nizak. But he doesn't have property that's equal to the Nizak's best property. He's got property that's worse and property that's better. So in that case, we're going to go with the Meitav of the Mazik. He says, Lomatzi Amarle, the Mazik can't say to the Nizak, Ta'ad Gabi mi Ziburi, come and collect from my Ziburi. El Gabi mi Meitav, he'll take from the Meitav. Okay? So again, we had the Machloka between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So at the end of the day, the way the Gemara is saying, it's Talui on whose Meitav or equivalent. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, I just have to, if I'm giving land, it has to be the Meitav of the Nizak. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it has to be the Meitav of the Mazik. But Rabbi Shmuel holds there is a case also where, even according to him, that you'd be the Edith of the Mazik. Okay? Now.
It's Gzerat HaKatuv. It's not logic. It's Gzerat HaKatuv.
Well, we have the Psukim, whether it's a Sfar or not, we haven't looked into it. In other words, sometimes you always have the Psukim, and then you have the Svara. So I wouldn't jump to say that there's no logic to it, okay? Let's take a look back on the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lobaktub Elagabot Nizak and Nina Edit. Rabbi Kiva says the Pasuk is teaching me that the injured party is going to collect from the Edit, the best, the Kavakomer the Hekdesh, and Kavakomer the Hekdesh. So those last three words are going to occupy our attention now going into tomorrow's Dav. My Kavakomer the Hekdesh. What does it mean, Kavachomer, by Hekdesh should be the same way? Ilema, the Nagach toward down the toward the Hekdesh. So maybe it means like this. Our shore means like a Hedyot shore, in other words, a civilian shore, Gord, a shore of Hekdesh, Gord, a shore that belongs to the base of Mikdash. So perhaps we think, or we keep it saying, that if our shore, Gord, is the shore of Hekdesh, so Mamela, if by a Hedyot, that according to Rabbi Akiva, you're collecting from the Meitav of the Mazik. So Kavachomer Hekdesh should collect from the Meitav of the Mazik. That's what we think. So Shor Re'ehu Amarach one of the Shor Shel Hekdesh. The Torah says V'chigach Shor Ish at Shor Re'ehu. The Shor Gor is his friend's shore, but not Shor of Hekdesh. Meaning Shor Hekdesh, you'd be patur. So he says Ela Laomer Harele Mada the Beta Kabayit. Rather, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva is talking about a different case where somebody said he's giving a mana contribution for Bet HaKabayit, the base of Mikdash. Dati Gizbar B'Shakal Mi'idi. He says that the Gizbar, a different case, that the Gizbar, the treasure of the base of Mikdash, when he comes, in other words, the guy didn't make good on his pledge. And now the gizmar is coming to seize money or assets in lieu of the pledge or to satisfy the pledge that he, the gizmar, will collect from the Eden. So the Gemara says, Lo yehel baal chov. Why should the gizmar be any better than any other creditor? Top line on Zion of Aleph, baal chov, beinoni. The baal chov is only entitled to collect from beinoni, from the middle, not the Eden. The chitema, Sava Rebbe Akiva, ko baal chov, not maybe Eden. Maybe you'll say that Rebbe Akiva holds a baal chov is really entitled to collect from the Eden. So Ikalamifra, I could still ask, Malabal Kov, can you put Koko Benizaki? A regular creditor, he has certain rights by garden variety damages, like we just saw. In other words, if somebody's shore damaged his shore, he collects the Maitav. Tobra Hekdesh, Shura Koko Benizaki. The Hekdesh is in an inferior position with the Zaki. So we'll have to continue this tomorrow, okay? So, okay, let me just start recording 1 second.
Now, response person.